The Beat Podcast is brought to you by Nutritia and is designed for healthcare professionals only. In this mini-series, we have partnered with Feel Good, human health and performance experts who transform science into practical, real-life solutions. You will hear from experts in psychology, nutrition, mental health, sleep, movement, and more. This podcast is all about you, whether that be on your lunch break, on your commute, or simply when you need to get moving. Take a moment for yourself and learn on the move.
When was the last time you skipped lunch because of work worries? Do you ever have back or neck tension? Do you find your breath more shallow when stressed? Well, stress and other emotions have their cheeky way of making their way into our bodies. They can impact our digestive system, our muscles, and even the biology and physiology of our brains. In today's episode, we will be exploring how you can tackle stress hands-on and work with your body to release the tension, pressure, and worry that we store in. Today's guest is Katrina Hessian, new mom, aka stress expert. She has had a 15 years career in the TV industry as a producer, managing her fair share of stress, big projects, and long hours. Since requalifying as a mindfulness coach and yoga teacher, she has delivered well-being workshops to a vast range of companies, from bank to ad agencies. She's Feels Good's favorite mindfulness coach and enjoys debunking the myths that mindfulness is woo-woo with practical science-based content. Hi, Katrina, and a warm welcome. How are you today?
Really well, thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
What is your feel-good moment this week?
Oh, that's a good one. I think probably just something as simple as I do a lunchtime walk. And yesterday's was particularly sunny. You know, one of those fresh days where the air is clear, the sun is on your face, clear blue sky. And actually, having had a grey winter so far, that was lovely. That was definitely a feel-good moment and gave me a bit of hope for spring.
I definitely resonate with that moment, especially after a few cold days, just being there in the sun and enjoying a little bit. So today we will be talking about stress containers, so meaning storing stress into our bodies. Can you expand a little bit on what we mean by stress in this context?
Sure. I mean, I think we've probably all felt stressed at some point, up against a deadline, if we've got too much on our plate. Maybe we've got a challenging situation with our health or in a relationship, in our family. But we also have these sort of micro moments of stress throughout the day. So little hits of cortisol or adrenaline that basically cause some emotional and mental clutter throughout the day. And this stores up in our bodies. We also carry along emotional baggage from past trauma or from periods of busyness that we've not actually recovered properly from. So we've got all these stresses that happen subconsciously and they build up over time and they store up in the body if we don't recognise them or we don't release them.
So can you expand a little bit more on that, what is actually happening into our bodies when we are stressed?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, when we are stressed, there is like hits of adrenaline and cortisol, they're stress hormones. And that basically prepares our body to either fight, flight, i.e. run or freeze. And so what it does is it pumps blood to our muscles in order to do this activity. So you might feel a bit fidgety or wired often when people feel are stressed. You know, there's that kind of feeling of just go, go, go. You might find your heart races, but subsequently, your body also turns off functions it doesn't think it needs. So it turns down the digestive system, the immune system. It's why people often suffer from IBS or they'll get ill after a period of stress. So these are all sort of biological reactions happening in our body. And if this happens for a short, say, one-off moment, then our bodies can bounce back. But if this is for a sustained period, or we keep flipping into this state, then we don't give our bodies proper time to recover, then the physical effects can be much greater, and that's when you come up with sort of more chronic problems. And interestingly, just to show the impact that this does have on our body, there's been some studies into fascia. Now, fascia is a kind of supple connective tissue that weaves all the way through our bodies, and it should be very supple and soft. But what they found is when cortisol is pumped into this fascia, it hardens and it mats. And this is what causes pain and movement restriction. So actually, there was a study that showed that lots of people's chronic neck pains or bad backs actually aren't muscular or skeletal, but they're actually from this hardening of the fascia. And this is due to us quite physically storing the tension in our bodies without releasing it.
This is very interesting, because we often hear about releasing the tension from the muscles, but then what's exactly the difference between our fascia being hardened or just being our muscles being hardened? Or how can we tell the difference in our bodies in terms of what's happening and what actions do we have to do after to release it?
You might not actually always identify exactly what it is. When it's muscular, you might find that a particular action or movement triggers it. Whereas when it's something like fascia, you might find that it's a bit more ongoing, or there's a sense of sort of tightening and restriction in your movements. Really, how you can get to fascia pain is things like foam rolling, which anyone who works out on the gym a lot might do. It's getting deeper than the muscles, so it's really slow, restorative practices. There's lots online that you can actually do yourself, kind of deep tissue massage as well. So you're looking for deeper, slower movements and practices. And this is what we're going to be talking about today, it's about trying to relieve some of that tension and that store up of stress before it gets so deep and matted into your body. And hopefully today this is, we'll talk through a couple of the tools that people can use to stop it getting to such that sort of deep-rooted mat.
Yeah, before we get into that, I know you just mentioned foam rolls. What about massage guns? I know there's a true hype about them lately, or the shiatsu pillow that gives you a nice massage while you're on your desk working.
I mean, definitely try it. I think the other one is those, one of those mats where it's got sort of like the spikes on, which personally I'm not a fan of, but that's probably because I'm a bit of a wimp. Yes, I think with these things, everyone will have their own little take of what's going to work for them. If you find something uncomfortable or distracting, then you're going to be tense whilst it's happening and it's not going to work. So it's finding something that actually you're really comfortable with and you can actually have time to be able to put into your day-to-day.
Yeah, that's so true. Something that we actually have time to use. That's why I like the shiatsu pillows, because I can use them even when I'm working, when I'm relaxing in the evening, whenever, for 10 minutes, and the work is done. But before we talk about more tips and solutions, can you expand a little bit more on how can we really listen to our body's stress signals and identify stress in different parts of our body?
Yeah, of course. I think really, to clarify just why it's so important to notice this stress as well. Because I think so often we live our lives, we might have a crick in our neck or this sore back, and we continue on, or there's a view that we often wait for our bodies to be screaming at us before we take action. But actually the more effective change can come when we start to interpret the subtler signs, the whispers. And, you know, when we think about stress, as I say, we talked about how it represents in our body. We've got this idea that it might happen, you know, tight on a deadline, working long hours. But actually, we might recognize it in day to day. So it might leave us feeling depleted. It can cause hormonal imbalances, physical pain, but also mental clutter. So you may ruminate on things more often, have repetitive or negative thoughts, perhaps feel more anxious or have outbursts of unexpected sadness. So stress is something that very much affects both your mind and your body. And so you're really looking out, as I say, for these whispers, these smaller signals. And one of the ways that you can do that, in answer to your question, is with a practice called the body scan. Now, if anyone dabbles in the meditation apps or has done meditation or mindfulness, then I'm sure you would have done an element of a body scan, if not a full practice. And it is quite simply paying attention to different areas of your body. So it's a bit like imagining you have a torch or a spotlight in your hand and you shine it at each part. So you start with your feet, your ankles, up to your knees, and you literally go part by part through your legs, through your body, your arms, your neck, your head, and you're scanning through your body to see what sensations are present. So you might notice some tension somewhere, or things like a jittery belly or a tight chest. Or you might not notice anything at all. I've had that many a times where people are like, you know, you just there's nothing there that day. But what you're doing is you're building the mind-body connection. You're making space to hear those whispers. You're seeing what comes up when we step back, we tune in, we observe. And that's really what we want to do is step one. We want to make space to see what's there, to listen in, to try and decipher those subtler signals, build that connection between mind and body. Not just be, as one lady I worked with once, she referred to herself as a head on a stick because she had lost all that connection. So busy in the days that she'd lost that connection to her body. We're going to go through a very short practice that I like to call Fofbok. Feet on floor, bum on chair. And this is like a reset button to our day. Traditionally, it's used when we're sat down, but we can also do a version when we're walking, and we're going to try that now. So feel your feet onto the floor. You really feel them into the ground beneath you, anchoring down. So maybe if you're sat there, you feel the soles of your feet on the ground beneath you. If you're walking, really feel that sense of that heel to toe, that motion as you're pouring your feet down into the earth. Taking a moment now to really feel into your feet on the floor. And then traveling up through the legs, and really sensing into your bum on the chair, the heaviness, that seat, that connection point of where your seat meets the chair beneath you. If you're walking, perhaps you can feel into your hands. You're just looking for another point of connection to sense into. Maybe you're feeling your arms walk by your sides, a heaviness, a weightiness in your hands. So taking a moment now to really feel into that area of the body. And then continue up. Can you feel a nice long spine, either drawing up from the chair or elongating as you're walking along? Maybe noticing a heaviness in the shoulders, rolling down the shoulders. Your chin tucking slightly to lengthen the back of the neck there. And maybe even closing your eyes, or if you're walking, just soften your gaze and take 5 deep breaths. If you inhale, maybe feeling your belly expanding, and as you exhale, really lengthen out that exhale. On the next one, as you inhale, nice deep inhale, and as you exhale, maybe sighing it out, releasing everything that's gone before you in this day. Taking a few more inhales, and as you exhale, imagine everything you've stored just releasing out. Feeling your shoulders getting heavier and heavier with every exhale. And and on the final breath, can you imagine your body as a whole? Imagine that anchoring, that connection point of your feet on floor, your bum on your chair, or your arms by your side, your chest open and expansive. And then opening your eyes, taking one more inhale, and as you sigh it out, feeling more energized to continue, more energized and centered to continue your day.
So we looked a little bit at how do we identify stress in the body, why is that important, and a few first tips to release tension more like from our fascia or muscles. So can you detail a little bit more what practical things we can do to release stress or tension from our physical body?
Sure. I think one of the sort of main go-tos are practices like yoga or Tai Chi. They're great examples of releasing chronically held stress or trauma in our bodies. You can also target specific areas. Say in yoga, you might have hip or heart openers. They're both common regions where we might hold our emotions and our tensions. And, you know, there's lots of exercise to target those. Also, unlike high impact, high intensity exercises, these practices also stimulate the parasympathetic nervous system. So this basically acts as a brake to the stress response, which is the sympathetic response. So you can't be in both at once. What we're looking to do is to activate our rest and digest. This is where our body restores, renews, there's new cell generation. It's that sort of the antidote to the stress response, as it were. So those slower practices are great for that. But we don't always have time to roll out our yoga mat and do an hour's practice. I totally recognise that. And actually, particularly when we're stressed or we're in periods of being really busy, which is often when we feel stressed, we don't necessarily have the luxury of time on our side. So something as simple as desk stretches. We all hunch our desks. There's, I'm sure we've all heard of the term tech neck. So what we want to do is we want to open out our bodies. We want to roll the shoulders down. We want to spread the arms out and kind of open the chest. Perhaps just putting your ear to your shoulder one side and then the other side. Maybe rolling down and sort of hanging like a forward fold, letting your arms and head hang heavy to sort of really release the back. These really simple desk stretches are actually gonna help release that tension. It increases the oxygen and the blood flow in the body. And so you might actually also feel more alert and clear-headed afterwards as well.
Yeah, so I have two questions based on what you just mentioned. I know you initially mentioned things like yoga, Pilates, and these types of activities. But what about things like running? Because I know there's a little bit of controversy here. For example, I always feel like I'm detensioning and I'm relaxing while I'm running, but I know that oftentimes that can be quite stressing for the body. So is running and other cardio exercises, are they helpful for releasing tension and stress from the body, or are they not?
I think what you've got to remember with sort of cardio workouts or exercise is that you're still technically putting your body under some sort of stress, because in terms of the impact, the physical impact on your body, but also it's quite often you might get a bit of adrenaline when you're doing those things. You know, you feel pumped up. There's not just the endorphins. There's also other sort of, as I say, adrenaline, other hormones pumping around. So it doesn't always flip you into the parasympathetic nervous system, which is what we were talking about just there, that rest and digest. Having said that, I know exactly what you mean, and I've known many people that where running is a way to really give themselves space, mentally switch off, go into a different zone. And so in that respect, when you go for a run, you get that fresh air, you get that clarity of mind, that in turn will help your stress levels. So I would say if you use running or going to the gym as a way of clearing your mind, brilliant, go for it. Perhaps maybe work in some slower stretches or a meditation at the end to just to help bring your body back down, to give your body chance to really rest and recover. I would say if you're feeling stressed, you don't do any exercise, and you're looking for a way to kind of to release this tension from your body, perhaps don't start with running or the gym. They may not be the ones for you. If you're feeling like really wired, then something like that may kind of exacerbate it. So you want to be looking for something that's slower and quieter. And actually, sometimes that's the hardest thing. For years, I was so stressed at work and so busy, and I'd barely have a moment, but going to my gym was my go-to because I just almost couldn't slow down. So at times when you're feeling like you're going a million miles an hour, it is really important to slow down, to recover, to give yourself your body space to be able to flip into that rest and digest mode.
That makes sense. And then I wonder how much time is enough, because I know you also mentioned desk stretches and just slowing down. For how long should we do them, or how many times throughout the day, so they can really have an impact?
This is a tricky one. There's no set timing. It will vary very much person to person, the level of your feeling of stress, whether it's, you know, you've just had a stressful day or whether you've had a stressful year. You know, there's lots of variables. I would say make something achievable. So it's all very well sitting here and being like, yes, actually, I'm feeling stressed. I'm going to do an hour's walk and an hour's yoga a day. You know, it is not going to happen. So it's, you know, don't aim too big. Sometimes actually aiming for those small little nuggets that are actually going to be made possible is much more effective. So I would say if you can do a couple of 2 5-minute desk stretches a day, and one longer practice where you actually get deeper into to the body a week or a couple of those a week, then you're off to a really good start. But as I say, I think the key really is making something that's achievable for you and not aiming too big, because that's when it gets pushed to the wayside and the importance is really little and often.
Definitely, it's about starting, doing something, and then in time I guess you can add more and more or do more, but first of all you have to start something.
Absolutely, and actually as well, if you can just start with something and notice a small difference, you might be inclined to make space for a bit more. You know, sometimes you need to start reaping the effects, don't you, or getting that reward in order to make a bit more time for it.
Exactly, and then you can get addicted to it, as I often do. I start something at the start in the first few months, I absolutely hate it, but then in a few months I can't not do it on a daily basis.
Yeah, exactly. It becomes part of your daily routine then, doesn't it, or your weekly routine.
Yeah, hopefully. That's the aim. So you said, I think earlier in the conversation, you mentioned that stress can also be present in form of unexpressed emotions. So what can we do in that context to release the emotions rather than just the physical tension?
Yeah, okay. And this is a really interesting one, and one that I'm quite passionate about, because I feel, as we say, there's that very physical representation, but it's also looking at the root cause, you know, and how our minds interplay with this. So there's two things I would say that you can do. One is to really focus on your breath. So something like belly breathing, elongating the exhale. This basically puts a brake on the stress response, stimulates the parasympathetic nervous system, which we mentioned before. This means we can dispel stress and tension before we store it. And it sort of acts as a bit of an emotional reset. It's a bit like a way of emotionally regulating ourselves is just to take a moment, take that breath. You're creating a bit of space. You're stepping back from whatever has gone before that moment. And that's really simple. Belly breathing is a way of kind of getting that deeper breath, because quite often we can have quite shallow breathing or it's in our chest. So one way to do that is actually by putting your hands on your belly, sort of with your fingernails interlaced. And then as you inhale, imagine your belly is expanding out, a bit like when you're blowing up a balloon. So you inhale, your belly puffs out, your hands will separate. So you'll really notice there that your belly is expanding. And then as you exhale, do a really slow, long exhale, your hands will kind of knit back together. So having your hands on your belly is just a way of kind of accentuating the sensation, because quite often with our breath, as I say, it can go quite quickly or quite unnoticed. So slowing down, having a few belly breaths, taking stock, that's kind of a way that we can recognize and reset emotionally. And then there's the second thing I'd also say is the term that Dan Siegel coined, and he says you've got to name it to tame it, which I love. It's stuck with me for many years, and it's something that I know lots of people I work with always take away. Name it to tame it. In other words, say to yourself what you're experiencing, what negative emotion you're experiencing, or what's going on for you, in order to get some distance from it. You basically get this cognitive sort of distance. You become the observer. And there, you can become a lot more objective in terms of what you need, what action is needed, or what you want to do to release this. So I could say to myself, okay, today, I check in with myself, I name it. I am feeling really stressed or really sad or really angry. Once I have named it, I can, not only does it, the creating that distance takes away a bit of power, because you're flipping it into your conscious mind. You're taking it out of the subconscious where the limbic system may be triggered. You're bringing it into that higher cortex. You're bringing it into your conscious mind. And from that conscious mind, once you've named it and it's right there in your awareness, then you've got more options. You've got more choices with what to do with it. So if I recognize, I've named, I'm feeling sad or angry or stressed, then I'm much more likely to think of a way I can help myself. So I might decide that actually I need to get in that walk today, or I need to phone a friend, or I need to crack on with my to-do list so that I feel more productive, whatever it may be. So name it to tame it is something that I swear by.
These are both such good points. First of all, using the breath to really regulate our nervous system. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the breath is the only part of our parasympathetic nervous system that we can actually control. Because besides that, we can't promote more saliva flow. We can't slow down our heartbeat or promote, lower blood sugar. But breath we can actually control. And by controlling our breath, we can actually take our body into this parasympathetic nervous system. And exactly what you mentioned about breathing into our bellies, that also promotes a relaxed state, because as far as I know, when we are stressed, we tend to breathe more into our upper chest and have a more fast and shallow breath, or often through the mouth.
Exactly. And that kind of has its own spiral of physical effects, really, being up there in your chest and faster, tighter. And you're absolutely right there with the breath. And the best thing about the breath is you can access it anywhere, at any time, any place. People don't even need to recognise that you're doing it sometimes. You know, it's available to us all the time. And again, it's just about bringing it to our awareness. And I would like to put in a disclaimer, because sometimes when people are feeling anxious or they're stressed, sometimes focusing on the breath may exacerbate it. You know, they kind of breathing is something that so happens subconsciously. When you put your focus on it, sometimes if you're feeling quite anxious or stressed, as I say, it can kind of throw you off and you're like, ah, I've forgotten how to inhale and exhale. So having that physical touch, like your hands on your belly or put your hand on your chest, is a way of kind of anchoring you to it. And just remember that the breath will breathe itself. You're not needing to do anything fancy, no fancy yogic breathing, but sometimes just sort of coming back to it, like a rhythm, like that, yeah, that rhythmic, that like a wave might come in and out, that sort of rhythmic dance, and think of it more as kind of this ongoing anchor, this metronome that you always have, inhale and exhale, and you're just choosing to sort of tap into it and use that as your anchor. So yeah, I would just say it's always available to us. It's a brilliant, brilliant tool, and there's so many exercises you can do with the breath. But if you are one of those people that when you focus on it, it throws you off, or it makes you feel a bit, you know, more anxious or uptight, then just try and really think of it as this metronome, this anchor, and you're not needing to control it.
Exactly. It's about finding out what works for you, because we know that these are techniques that have been proven by science, but not every person is the same, and you have to find out what works for you and experiment. And as you said, it's not just about maybe breathing or calming down, but it's also about working with the real problem, naming it, taming it, and seeing what you can actually do with that. But then let's say that people tried a little bit these techniques, and things don't necessarily get better on the long term. They say, yeah, the breathing is not working, the stretches are not making them more relaxed. They try to understand their emotions a little bit better, but it's not working. What would you consider or recommend?
I think if it's something that's longer term or chronic, you know, I think we probably all know the physical management of chronic tension. Maybe you have more massages, or there's physiotherapy, there's other physical therapies that you can do to really get into deep-rooted physical tension. But I think when something is long term or other things aren't quite working, we need to really find a way of managing ourselves, finding those coping strategies to really kind of to change how we do things day to day. And so one way that we can really manage ourselves is to really get to know you, your emotions, your stresses. And one way we can do this is by having a daily check-in. So something like journaling, or a three-step breathing space, which I will talk about a bit there, or maybe just literally asking yourself the question when you're brushing your teeth in the morning, how am I? How do I feel today? What's going on for me? I mean, we're so often in our heads or on to the next thing. We're writing an email in our heads whilst we're eating our breakfast, or, you know, we don't really kind of take stock. And I think when we have this longer term stress, or something that's deep-rooted, we really need to take that time to check in. So I mentioned briefly there the three-step breathing space. Again, this is something that if anyone's done much mindfulness, it comes. And my mindfulness course that I run, actually, this is hands down the most used technique, and something that people tell me that they, you know, years after they do the course, they're still utilizing, not only because it's effective, but also because it's quick. So it used to be called the three-minute breathing space. The first step is to really take stock with what's going on in the body and mind. So asking yourself what's present. The second step is to focus on the breath. So exactly as we said with the belly breathing, we're just placing the focus there, and that acts as like a reset. Like a bit like turning the computer on and off again. And then the third step, therefore, is to widen our awareness back out, gain some perspective and clarity to what we want to do next. And as I say, it's a really simple, quick practice. I wouldn't even call it a meditation, albeit it is. And as I say, it can be a few minutes way of checking in, resetting and gaining clarity. And those types of things are really going to help us self-regulate and self-manage.
That seems easy enough to implement. No excuse not to do that. We are close to the end. We don't have much time. I think we already passed by. Can you answer it in 60 minutes, my last two questions? So first of all, what is something people can do if they only have 1 or 2 minutes? The most effective thing they can do?
Most effective thing I would say is desk stretches. Maybe put a post-it note on your laptop or your screen, put 2 there in the morning and take them off when you've done them, so you've kind of got that visual cue to make sure you do 2 5-minutes in the day. Perhaps rope in someone in your office if you're working from there, or from home, set an alarm on your phone, have some accountability, just to really, that's something that you can really do little and often that's going to make a huge impact, not only to your energy but also to your body. And Fofbok, which I know we did a brief practice of earlier, feet on floor, bum on chair. That's a really key way of getting grounded in the moment, resetting. It's that turning the computer off and on again that's going to help dissipate the stress before we store it.
Okay, and one small thing that people can do to prevent it, not just solve having stress stored in their body?
I would say the daily check-in. So I know we mentioned it just now, but either a meditation, journaling, maybe it's even just a walk around the block so you can clear your head and have a word with yourself. Ask yourself the question, how am I today? So that daily check-in, and also daily movement. And it doesn't need to be an hour yoga practice, as we said, it's about moving the body. Maybe it's even just dancing around the kitchen with the music blaring as you make your lunch or you cook your tea. It's doing something that shifts the energy, that moves your body and gets you out of the sort of static, sedentary positions that we often find ourselves when we work long hours.
And I guess doing something fun while you're doing it, enjoying it.
Exactly. It's another way of getting those feel-good hormones pumping around. So, yeah, in fact, I've got a playlist on my Spotify, Feel Good Tunes, and that is the first thing that I put in my ears or blare on the stereo when I'm in times of stress, for sure.
Yeah, it's so useful to do that, because otherwise it's so hard sometimes to make that switch. But music has an impact that I don't know what else can be sometimes as a quick and impactful as music is. Thank you very much, Katrina, for all the great tips and knowledge that you shared with us today. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Is there any final point you would like to leave our audience to?
No, I would say thank you for listening, and go easy on yourself, go mindfully, and enjoy moving your body.
To keep up to date with future episodes of the Beat Podcast from Nutritia, make sure you subscribe on whichever platform you listen to your podcasts on. For more updates on the show, as well as lots of other educational content from Nutritia, sign up to our newsletter at www.nutritia.co.uk.